Hey, welcome to the Flight Risk Podcast Show, and I'm your host, Robert Bruton. It is February 28th, 2024. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it as always, and be sure to follow us, and you can also see a whole bunch of our stuff on our profile link, and that'll take you to our link tree, and you can see all kinds of cool stuff about us. So anyway, today I wrote an article. And I kind of liked it because it woke me up. And one of the things that I've kind of let myself get drawn into was all the shit that's going on in the world right now. Politically, I live on the Texas Gulf Coast, so I live close to the border, which is something that's close to me and affects, you know, doesn't really directly affect me, but it does affect the state that I live in. The fact that the tax dollars that I put into the state are, instead of going to educate our children and going to do other things, they're protecting our southern border for the rest of the United States. And I'm very grateful to all the other states that have pitched in. And for those of you that don't believe the border crisis is a crisis, I can tell you firsthand, and I'm not political. I could really give a rat's ass about all the politics, because it's, you know, when you sit there and you think about these guys make more money than you and I do, even with the salaries that they get, they come out multimillionaires. You can't tell me that all that shit's, every damn one of them, they're all full of shit. But anyway, you can tell that if you start off on that path, it's real easy to get yourself in a sad state of affairs, because that whole thing is. And really, at the end of the day, what do we really have to fight against? Their corruption is really what it boils down to. What can you and I do to get them to stop buying stocks that they have insider information on? What can we do to get them to do the things that are necessary? You know, how many women and children got to be killed by immigrants that are coming, not for a good reason? And I can tell you right now, and the reason that I feel like I have some right to speak to this, you know, my youngest son, his mother came from Colombia and came and received political asylum. I'm not going to share. I can tell you this. What they were fleeing was horrible. What happened to her brothers and sisters and to her father by the Colombian cartels was... It was ghastly. It was ungodly. And so I can't, you know, for her, I'm grateful that she was able to come to this country and get the asylum that her and her sister needed. Her sister actually ended up having to go to Canada. And, but both now are, you know, safe and can actually return to Colombia, not, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get all off on that, because there are folks coming from other countries that deserve a chance to be here. But, you know, it's just like when, you know, they were sending all the people from Cuba. Yeah, there were a lot of good Cubans that came. I worked for a Cuban guy for many, many years that I'll say this. What I learned from him, and he was a Cuban immigrant, what I learned from him about business serves me very well today. This is a man who could tell you down to the paperclip what where his business was, what he was, you know, he just was a good man. You know, he was a hard boss, you know, he was a very hard boss. But he, you know, he was a good man. So anyway, there, you know, but I think there's a right way to come. I think there's a right way to do it, and I think that the way that it is now is a bunch of bullshit, and the way that I can do anything about that is really limited into just my voice and basically at the end of the day, if I'm sitting here telling you that, who am I to tell my listeners or my fans, you know, what not to believe? I'm just sharing something that will get me into what the show's about today, which is staying focused when things look hopeless. And it's an article I wrote. It's on the blog now, robertbruton.com. It's the first one. And it hit home with me because things in many instances look very hopeless. You know, I mean, you've got all these people pouring in. You're seeing people get killed right and left. You're seeing people get attacked. You're seeing so much stuff going on. You're seeing the possibility of World War III. You know, the market's up and down. It's a lot. So, and it's easy. And see, I'm even here now getting off of topic, really, because it's easy to get sucked in. And that's what this whole, it's what woke me up today. How am I going to design my life? How am I going to script my day if I allow all this bullshit to get put into my brain and just screw me up? So the first bullet point I want to talk about is you have to shift your mindset. The first step is to shift your mindset and your way of thinking. When challenges arise, it's natural to get bogged down in negative thoughts and like, this is too hard, I'll never be able to get there, oh, the world's coming to an end. You could get on and on and on and on, you know, and we have to make a conscious effort to reframe everything. You know, it's just, you know, if you have to do like a lot of people did when they were trying to quit cigarettes, they put a big rubber band on their wrist, and when they wanted to stop smoking or they felt the urge, they'd pop their wrist with that big rubber band. You know, it's almost like cussing or trying to stop doing anything. You know, you put that big rubber band on your wrist. It sounds stupid, you know, but it'll work. You know, it's, you know, most things that work a lot of times are the simplest things, and you sit there and you go, well, you know, that was pretty easy. And it seems so easy that, you know, we get in a situation where, well, you know, oh man, that's not the way that's going to work. That's just too easy, you know, and it's really not, you know. And so in that kind of is a double way of looking at it, I guess, but, you know, it's not that simple to stop something, you know, and you have to, you know, pop that rubber band to remind you that it's time to refocus. It's time to do something else. So, you know, and you have to look at these challenges as a test of your commitment, rather than signs you should quit, you know. And sometimes it's that marathon wall that we have to run through in order to make it to the other side. You know, marathon runners get to a point, and when you've run marathons, and I did several years ago, I ran the Dallas Marathon, and I made it 17.6 miles. And the reason I know it was 17.6 miles is because that's what it said on the Hooters sign where I collapsed, conveniently enough. And I did collapse on the ground. It took me a minute to get myself together and get back up. And that's where, you know, I called it a day. I wasn't hurt, but I just couldn't go anymore. And that's what breaking through that wall, that, you know, when you get there, everything in your body's telling you that you're hurt, you know, you're doing damage to your body, and you're really not. There's so many studies, medical studies, that show that it, you know, you just have, it's more than what your body is used to doing. So you have to condition your brain, you have to condition your body that you can go further, you can do more, you're okay. And so anyway, that's kind of the way you have to look at everything in life. You know, you're gonna reach this point where it's, you hit that wall, and are you gonna run through it, or are you gonna, and here's the thing, that all this crap that's going on in the world, it's really easy to let that become your wall. And I have, in the last probably 3 or 4 weeks, have let a lot of things get in the way of my doing what I know I need to do to be a success in my podcast, a success in my books, success in my filmmaking business, you know. And so I try to get back to my roots, and this is my roots. You know, it's not being a political commentator, it's being, how do I get through and work with the cards that are dealt me? How do I do that? Well, I get clear on my motivation, and that's the next bullet point, is, you know, we have to stay focused during tough times on connecting with our core motivation regularly, okay? And so that's what I'm having to do, is get back to my core motivation, was to share my journey from where I was, say, well, 6-7 years ago to where I am today. And the fact that I've been very prolific in my writing, I've written, got over 20 books now, and I've published, good Lord, I can't tell you how many blog posts and magazine articles and things like that. And so I can, you know, I write a lot, you know, and for me, that's something that's very cathartic in my own life. So I have to stay clear with that motivation, and stay clear to my core focus. So, you know, you have to positively change the impact you have on your life, or you can negatively have an impact on your life. And if you get caught up in all the bullshit of the world, I don't know how to put it, you're gonna fail. You know, you see I see all these young women that came out on these memes that were screaming when Donald Trump got into office, and were losing their shit, completely losing their shit. And I'm sitting there going, okay, 5 minutes from this point where you lost your shit, what now? I would challenge these people. I have to challenge myself. Okay, 5 minutes from this blow up point, okay, what now? What's next? Are you going to take another step forward, or are you just going to roll down into a mush of shit and not do nothing and let your life totally dissolve around you? So you feel like you were dealt a shitty hand? Okay, well, don't fold yet. You know, there's a big thing in poker called bluff. You might have to bluff your way through. You're going to have to play the cards that you were dealt. And you may not like it, but they're the cards that you were dealt. You know, nobody said you had to say it was okay or you like it. But, you know, here we are. So we're going to have to play them. You know, it sucks and you may not like it, but what else are you going to do? Because if this door is somehow open, but it starts shutting back on you, you're going to push it back open, or you're going to let the door shut? You know, and are you going to look at these cards and go, shit, well, I fold. When if you'd have stayed in, with your pair of twos and nobody else had shit, you could have taken a pretty sizable pot. It's a risk, it's a gamble, but it always is. So, you know, you're going to have to get real clear on your why. What is behind your ambition? Why are you doing this? What is it that you really want in life? Here's the thing that I decided, and I've said this several times and I've written about it as well, is, you know, years ago, when I was faced with a divorce that I absolutely, at that time, didn't want. I didn't want it under any circumstance. I loved her. I wanted to stay with her. I wanted to work it out. I wanted, you know. And, you know, I could have folded up my tent, and a couple of times I was ready to do that. You know, just said, fuck it. I'm done. No more. Let it go. But I was ready to cash in my chips. So when I was able to pull myself out of that fog, and there were a couple of huge events in my life that I shared, and I'm not going to get into them in this podcast because it's getting way off of what I want to talk about today. But suffice to say that I made it through and I got real clear on my why. My why was that I wanted to do something for once in my life that was for me. Not a selfish reason, but something that was for me personally and professionally. I was tired of making other people shitload of money. It's time to make me a shitload of money. And so, you know, I was tired of, and it's not about, I should say, you know, yes, we're all driven by money in some sense of reality, in some sense, shape, or form. But when you look at, in my situation, it was a question of, it was always about the money in my job. You know, it was always, you know, what have you done for me today? How much money have you made for me today? How much money are we going to make this month? How much money did you make on this deal? How much, you know? So I tend to lean into that a little bit in my own thing, but I can prove that it's not really all about the money, because I jumped off into something that, you know, that was a big risk. You know, I had to trim down to fighting weight, financially. I had to pay off some bills. I had to do some things to get myself in a position to do my why. My why is because I want to feel like I achieved something for me. That I achieved something in my life that benefits, well, my family, but me. It feeds my soul. The how is I wanted to, you know, say for instance, the year that I decided to write my first book, okay? I buckled in, I did everything I was supposed to do, okay? And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And it was funny because I was so engrossed in the process, the writing, the book, the research and the whole thing. And I sat down with a pastor friend of mine and he grabbed my hand. It was on a Christmas Eve, and you know, was telling me, you know, we were sharing obvious Christmas pleasantries and, you know, the and things that you do on Christmas when you're talking to someone that's special to you. And I remember Don asked me, he goes, You did finish your book this year, didn't you? And it dawned on me in that moment. I go, damn. And he goes, well, you have next year. I said, no, that's not it. And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, it didn't even dawn on me. But I've published 7. Not 1, 7. And in that year, I did. I wrote 7 different books. I was like, holy shit. It's amazing what you can do when you focus, when you have a clear why, a clear how. And obstacles don't become obstacles, they become challenges. You know, roadblocks just something that you just wait for the obstacle to move, but you have to do the work to get around it. To keep your motivation, you keep laser focused in on what you're doing. So it was amazing to me that in that year, I was like, holy shit. And subsequently, I've written a whole bunch more. And if you, even discounting my books, hell, I have 380 articles on my blog. I can't begin to tell you, probably got at least a couple hundred in Medium. I don't know how many Substack stuff. We just started with Substack, so we're not quite that, I'm not quite there with big numbers, but, you know, it's another place where I'm putting work. I have 2 documentary projects that are in pre-production, and I have a couple of music shows that are definitely in pre-production. And so I got a lot going on. But I'm not letting, and I almost did, that's my point, I almost did allow all the bullshit that's going on in the world to stop me from doing what I know I need to do. So what I'm doing now is this new bullet point that we're going to talk about next, is break goals into manageable action steps. You can have as big a goals as you want. Okay? But if it's really super big and you're going to have to stretch for this one, then you need to break it down into actionable sub-goals to achieve a daily progress, to achieve forward momentum. Because it's easy to say, and I'm using this as an example. Well, this year I'm going to make $1 million. Okay, rock on you. That works. What are we going to do? Well, you better get a clear damn plan, because you can't. Here's the thing. God's not going to miracle a freaking $1 million into your bank account. Now, God may open doors for you that allow that $1 million into your life. But you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to show some faith. As important as faith is you're going to have to do some work. So if you don't have a clear direction as far as how is this work going to happen, you know, what does it look like? What am I going to do every day that is a tangible result at the end of the day? Something I can say, damn, that, you know, this has been a productive day. This is a good thing. For me in this moment, it's doing and finishing this podcast. So, you know, we have to do the work. It's not just going to happen because we wished it to. So you're going to have to break your day down into bite-sized chunks. So, you know, and it's, but it's just like everybody always says, it's how do you swallow an elephant 1 step at a time, 1 bite at a time, okay? So get clear on your goals that have manageable action steps, okay? Manageable steps. Take 30-minute intervals and do nothing but work for 30 minutes. Okay? And then take a break, a couple minutes, get you another 30 minutes. Get you another 30 minutes. You know? And schedule time for breaks. You're going to need a restroom break. You're going to need a water break. You're going to need a break to just stretch your back, get up, walk around. Because a quiet mind, one that's relaxed, you'll be amazed at what you can achieve. Seriously. Shit will just pour into your head. Sorry about that. I hit the microphone. Chunking your goal down into something that's less intimidating. You know, because $1 million is an intimidating number. Break it down into what you'll have to make per day. Then break that down into what value am I going to provide that's going to earn me that ROI. Pretty simple. You know, and then one of the things that I had to do, and I did it not long ago, maybe a couple months ago, is I decided it was time to surround myself with supporters versus people that were just not in line with what I wanted to achieve. You know, we had differences of opinion, so therefore I moved on. And it wasn't that I didn't have employees that I lost. I just had to divest myself of some business that simply was dragging me down. And people that, I had one person that used to always tell me, well, we do it this way. We're just old school. No, you're just too fucking stupid to learn anything new or to embrace change. You're too scared to take a step out into something different, something new. I am not. So therefore, I'm going to go this way and you go your old school way. See how that works out for you. You know? And so sometimes we have to step into the deep end of the pool, and this is a deeper end of the pool than I'm used to, but I'm swimming. And I'm going to keep swimming. So you have to surround yourself with people that don't knock you off course. Okay, I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying if it's somebody that you just, when they talk, at the end of their talk, you're just tired. You're just like, Jesus, Mary, man, are you, what? You know? Yeah, no, hell no, let's not do that. God, we might be successful, you know? Or you're around people that if it was your idea, it was shit. And 4 months later, when it comes back up and it was their idea, then all of a sudden it's a good idea. No, pass. So, you know, guys, we just have to realize that there's a time when you have to surround yourself with people that align with what you're trying to do. It's that old adage that if you're the smartest guy in the room, guess what? You're in the wrong frickin' room. So I got out of the room. So because I want to be around folks and I am learning from folks that have big dreams, have big goals, have had and continue to have big achievements, you know, and I was surprised to reach out to some of the people that I've reached out to and how much they were like, hey, man, what's going on? Hell yeah, let's, you know, sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. Because, you know, if you're talking to somebody and you have a clear vision and you can articulate that vision, You know, Quentin Tarantino said, he said, and I loved this. You know, he talked about filmmaking. He said, you don't have to know shit about filmmaking. What you have to know is how to articulate your story and how articulate how you want it to feel and look, and then surround yourself with people that can make it happen. You don't have to know focal lengths. You don't have to know how to make a costume. You don't have to know how to light someone so the moment looks perfect. You don't have to know what music is going to set the tone. And that's the one thing I love about filmmaking, is a moment can be set not only visually, but it with music, and can absolutely bring you to tears, can bring you to joy, can bring you to happiness, can bring you to utter horror. And that's so cool to me. So I love the fact that Quentin Tarantino was talking about that and was saying, you know, it's not about knowing all the things that you think you need to know how to do. I am a professional photographer. I'm a credentialed national photojournalist. But there is times when I know that I need to ask for editorial help, or ask for someone and say, hey, if you were going to shoot this, this is my idea for the composition of the photo. What do you think? Well, that's a good idea, but, you know, and then all of a sudden it sparks that creative in you. And that's where surrounding yourself with supporters really, you'd be surprised. I talk to people, especially in the photography world, you know, that I have a couple of friends that they do weddings and portraits and shit like that, and that's just not my gig. But that I love their thought process. I love the creative, and I love to say, hey, this is what I'm going to go out and shoot. And they've called me and said, hey, what do you think about this? And I'm like, dude, that sounds pretty fucking cool. What if you added this element? What if you added that element? And when you have that around you, dude, and you'd be surprised. I'm telling you, I was always scared to make the call, you know, or walk into the shop and say, hey, this is what I do, you know? Not looking to, you know, not looking for anything other than just, you know, if we need each other creatively, can we call on each other? And that's really, really cool, because a lot of times you feel like throwing in the towel. You spent so much time doing this, and you go to them and you say, hey, this fucking sucks, man. I can't get, you know, dude, don't quit. Here's what you do, you know? Or, hey, you know, why don't you go with me on this shoot? Or why don't you go do this with me? Take some pictures while you're there. Take some film while you're there. So surround yourself with good people. And then, as important as anything, is adopt a growth mindset mentality, meaning be coachable, be teachable. Don't be that, oh, we're old school, we're going to do it the old school way. No, you're too fucking stupid. Pisses me off when people tell me shit like that, as you can tell. No, don't be, you're not. That's the point. Don't be a weenie that's going, well, we're old school, we're going to do it this way. Okay, well, you know, if that's your gig, then don't, you know, you're just too fucking stupid to be around me. I can't stand that shit. So, you know, I just can't. you know, because it means that we're at this impasse where you're not even willing to try. So there you have it. Be willing to try. Be willing to feel stupid. Be willing to go, well, that just blew the fuck up. That was an ugly bitch. That was a whatever, you know. Man, we crashed and burned on that mother foofer. Be willing to do that. Because even when you're risking something, you don't have to throw all your chips in on something that you're testing or risking a little bit. Say, well, I'm gonna give myself half a day at this deal, and I'm gonna take some pictures, I'm gonna post them up, or I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna do that, or I'm gonna send them out to news resources that I have and see if anybody bites on it. Say, hey, here's some photos of where I am. Do you need any footage? God dang, dude, fuck, I didn't know you were there. Go get me this, go get me that, go get me this, go get me that. All of a sudden, you got a paying job. Tell you how many times I've been to the border and had that shit happen. Hey, dude, I'm sitting right, this is my vantage point. You need any footage? And no, you can't use the picture I sent you. It's mine. You can pay me for it. But this is where I'm at. Do you need something? And sometimes the answer is no. No, we're good. Thanks, dude. We'll keep you in mind. Appreciate it. Hey, man, and next thing you know, a week or two or a month later, you got an editor calling you or a producer calling you going, hey, man, when are you going to be, you remember that picture you sent me? When are you going to be back in that area again? Could you go down there? Are you free? There you have it. So be willing to take a risk, be willing to grow, and be willing to view obstacles as feedback for improvement, not a shortcoming failure, or shortcoming or a failure, I should say. So be coachable, be open, you know, and make, I always love to use this term, and it's kind of gross, so I'm sorry, ladies, but, you know, and it's not a lady thing, it's just I was being polite. But, you know, I always have people ask me, I always say, what are you doing, man? I said, shit, I'm making ice cream out of dog shit, baby. So, you know, have that attitude. Find that attitude. Think about it. I'm making ice cream out of dog shit. That needs to be your absolute mantra and motto. You know? And if I could put it on a business card, I would. You know, but at least I can tell you on my podcast without fear of too much retribution. That was just nasty. Your language is blah. Okay, well, then, okay, well, don't listen. Because sometimes my language does get a little out there. But, you know, hey, we're all big kids here. So, you know, if that's not your cup of tea, then, you know, I'm sorry. So, but I'm really not sorry. Instead of labeling yourself with thoughts like, I'm not good enough at this, or you're reframing setbacks and obstacles as your shit, you can't do it, you don't know how to do it, then here's the thing about keeping your mind open, you know, for staying present through mindfulness practices, you know, is staying present in that moment and realizing that, you know, all of this is just something that's saying, you know, you need to try a little harder. And you may have to go out there and learn a little bit more. I can't tell you how many times I've had to look at like using my camera. I got a really fancy, I got a Nikon Z7 II, and it's a badass camera. It's the most expensive camera I've ever bought. It's a badass camera. The Z8 wasn't out when I bought my Z7, or I would have bought a Z8. You know, but my Z7, it was a huge upgrade from where I was. And there is a lot of stuff you have to learn to do it. So I watch YouTube videos all the time about my camera. I have a little thing in my my camera bag that kind of tells me where everything is. And I'll be the first to say there's certain things that I don't know how to use on my camera all the, because I don't use it all the time. So I have to go back and refresh myself. I have to be open and mindful that I need to learn, because when you're first learning something, you're going to suck at it. Do you honestly believe that Tiger Woods went out the first time and drove a ball 300 yards? I would imagine that he probably was, well, he was a little bitty kid, but, you know, he probably couldn't hit it very far at all. Because I remember sitting at the Byron Nelson Golf Tournament when Tiger Woods was young. He was at, I mean, the peak of his game. And you had to get, if you wanted to see him up close, you had to get about five holes ahead of him and sit where you wanted to sit and sit there until he arrived. Otherwise, you'd be five or six people behind trying to look over just to get a glimpse of him. And I remember we were on a par four. And I remember he hit a drive that landed where the guy that he was playing against ball stopped rolling. Tiger Woods' ball, that's where it landed, and then he rolled further. And then I remember, because we were on the green, I remember he was about, I don't know, 100 yards out maybe, and he drained it. He hit his second shot and sunk it. And I remember the crowd, and we were just like, it was, that's probably in the top, that may be, thinking about it, I mean, I've seen some pretty cool football games, I've seen some F1 stuff, I'm going to say that's in the top two, if not the number one sporting thing that I've seen that was the coolest shit ever, that, you know, I just, I don't know that any other, you know, time would be as memorable as that shot was, and the way the crowd went, it was unbelievable. He eagles the hole, and just it was amazing. So he didn't get there. Wasn't his second or third week of playing golf. This was after mountains of practice, mountains of hitting balls, practice, learn, critique, blisters on his hands, blisters on his feet from walking, hole after hole after hole. But look where he got, because he left himself open to learn. He left himself open to practice. And that's what we all have to do. You have to be mindful. You have to be present in the moment. And you have to hone your skill, sharpen your technique, and focus on that. Because if you don't, then you're going to be exactly where you are right now, if you don't do something to learn more how to do it. Why do you think for doctors that there's continuing education? Why do you think for lawyers there's continuing education? Advancements in technology. That comes from learning, experimenting, trying, failing. So be that person. Seriously, be that person. Otherwise, you're just, it's never going to get better. So you got this. And the best way to do this is, take 5 or 10 minutes to declutter your mind. every day. Do something that kind of gets you out into, you know, watch a video, go walk outside, take a minute. But do something a little bit every day, and you'd be surprised. You know, and it's not mine, but it makes all the sense in the world. You know, you hear people say, okay, take 1 hour a day. Get yourself a book about something that you want to learn how to do and read that book, study for an hour. At the end of the year, you will have 360 hours of study and research time into a topic that you're going to know a shitload about. 1 year. Seriously, you can't give yourself that? Sure you can. One flipping hour. 7 days a week for 1 hour. Whether you get up an hour early and read, go to bed and read for an hour, find time during your day to read for an hour. I was thinking about that today. I was like, you know, I felt like I was, you know, I kind of felt, ah, damn, I need to be doing this or that. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't answer to anybody. I answer to me. I need to do what I'm doing. It's important, so do it. Stop worrying about it. Start stressing over it. So that's what I did. So you can move yourself forward. You can learn something new very easily. Just changing a few habits that you may have. Getting yourself a support group, crew. Talking to new people. I did it. I'm telling you, gotta be honest, you know, going out and cold calling, if you will. I'm not selling nothing. That's the cool thing is I'm not selling you something. Neither are you. What you're out there doing is talking to people that may need you as a support as much as you need them. Because sometimes it's really nice to have that support, knowing there's not anything that's, you know, we're not after something from each other. We're not asking, you know, I'm not asking you to borrow money. I'm not asking, you know, you're not asking me to borrow money. And, you know, just learn to be you. And I promise you, it will make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. So, we're going to stop at this point, and I'm going to just say I wish you all the success in the world. That sometimes things are hard and tough. Don't let that say, well, it's just too much. No, you need more knowledge. I'm telling you, but nothing, you can overcome a ton of shit and a ton of shit in your life, and you can take a lot of stuff. You can. And I'm telling you now that you'd be surprised. You'd be amazed. You really would at what you can achieve. When you don't look at life as is something horrible, you know, that and you can get sucked into things that will get you off course. And I'm very much understand that you can lose your way, and don't. And that's where, thank God, I kind of woke up and said, you know what, I'm I ain't going down this road. I'm way the hell off course here, you know. There's nothing really much that I can do about all the bullshit that's going on in this world. There is so much I could say, so much I want to say. And you just kind of have to go, you know what? I'd rather do the best that I can every day and pray for the world to find its way back to peace. And do what I can do to make sure that I'm okay and that my family's okay. So that's should be everybody's aim. Do what you can do to bring a better you to this world. And the rest will fall into place. So, follow the link in our profile. It will take you to our link tree. That'll take you to a landing page. That'll get you to my Amazon author page. It'll get you to our YouTube page. It'll get you to our Rumble page or Twitter page. It'll get you to our very cool shop that has all kinds of cool hats, cool t-shirts, stuff that's, you know, pretty funny and pretty cool, you know, and I hope that you can support us in all that we do. I appreciate it very much. You know, I've got a couple new books out there, so go take a look. We even made a little children's cook snack book that I collabed with a friend of mine, and she and I put together this little book, and it's cute and it's funny, or I say funny, it's fun, and it's got some healthy snack recipes for kids. And so anyway, that's that. And we again, I appreciate very much everybody that tunes in to us. So thank you so much. Continue listening to the show. And this is Robert Bruton with Flight Risk Podcast Studios. Bye for now.